goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboigny avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, also known as the show of proven winners. Well, let's not get too far ahead of where we are right now, but for a brief moment we are allowed to celebrate the magnificent victory at the Stadio Olympique Luis Companys against Barcelona as PSG becomes the only club in Europe, the only one, to have both a men and women's team in the Champions League semi-finals. That's not nothing. That is a great thing to be very proud of, and it talks about the club culture and ambition. There's still way to go, of course, especially on the women's side, but genuinely this is something of great significance, I think. It's not at all to be overlooked. My name is Mikko. How are you? How's it going, my friend? Me, I'm feeling pretty good. Joyous even with all that's been happening. It's been a great week. Thank you so much for listening to PSG Review, and you can talk to me online also at PSG Review Pod on Twitter, where I'm most active, then at PSG Review, of course, on Instagram and TikTok as well. All episodes on all usual platforms, including YouTube these days, so make sure that all of your necessary subscriptions are in order, and the show is also on Blue Sky, if that's something that you do. There's so much I could say about Tuesday night and events leading up to it. My starting analysis was pretty clear and simple. Nothing that had ever happened before meant anything. Nothing other than the first leg less than 1 week earlier, and even that had an impact that was one single solitary goal advantage for Barcelona. Messi, Neymar, Ronaldinho, or Zlatan weren't going to score one goal for either team. No remontada goal or dive or refereeing error counted anymore. Kylian Mbappe's hat-trick from early 2021 was just a fond memory to us, but if there were to be any goals by him, he would have to go and score them again. Now, not then. All these narratives, the folklore, the stories of old were tried to be dragged in to juice up the rivalry, which in my opinion is pretty manufactured, to be honest with you. Barcelona especially had adopted a communication strategy that was fundamentally very arrogant and in advance leaning towards the qualification, which they seemed to take for granted almost. Their choices online, the images that they were sharing, and the air of general invulnerability could only ever work if they went to the next round. It was always clear that if they didn't, it would make them look pretty embarrassing, but they took that risk of celebrating in advance, and PSG, as much as I'm biased, I am not biased in these types of things, believe me, our club selected a far more sustainable strategy, which was to communicate once the victory and qualification was guaranteed. So afterwards, there were responses to some of the Barcelona situations online, what they had posted, but mainly the answer was given on the pitch. I won't get too bogged down with the blow-by-blow details of the match. After all, it was already a few days ago. I'm recording this on Thursday. The match was on Tuesday night, and I made a sort of conscious decision to not record immediately after it, or the next day, which was yesterday, because this match, as an experience, was one of those great European nights that we will undoubtedly remember in the years to come. I was watching the match with our local fan club, which I am part of, and we were in a sports bar. It was quite full of people. It was us PSG supporters. There were some Barcelona fans there. There were many Dortmund supporters and a few Atletico Madrid ones, I think, also. A great atmosphere, all in all, with two pretty remarkable matches happening side by side, literally TVs next to each other. And of course, there were many other TVs, but where we were sitting, there were two TVs next to each other. One was our match and the other one was the Dortmund Atletico. So you kind of end up in this fog of football. It's a little surreal experience, and you feel nervous, excited, scared, hopeful, desperate, overwhelmed, overjoyed, and confused throughout the evening. So to be honest with you, the analysis isn't always very sharp if you just go by the feelings you felt. And we really did go through emotions, which is nice. But last night I watched the match again, just to see what I actually saw the night before without having to feel any of the nerves. you know, so in this episode, it's more the talking points, the observations and the ideas of the match rather than the events as such. But the short versions of the events, nevertheless, here goes. PSG started one goal down, dominated the match. Barcelona scored from their one and only attack, really, with Nuno Mendes not doing a great defensive work. I love Nuno Mendes, but at this particular situation, he wasn't channeling his best version in defense. PSG continued to play well. Ronald Araujo took a red card. PSG took the opportunity. Goal by Dembele. One goal down on aggregate at that point. Another amazing shot by Vitinha, which was a goal. Great goal. Then a reckless and really quite unnecessary tackle in the box by Cancelo. Pape scores from the spot and finally gets another to finish things off. That's essentially what happens. There were some. Well, to be honest with you, there were plenty of complaints about the refereeing by Barcelona players, manager Xavi and his assistant, and definitely by the supporters who perhaps aren't as used to not getting what they want, you know, getting their way, certainly concluding from how uncritically they look at the remontada match from all those years ago. But that's an ancient past now, and I think that maybe with this match, it has been put to bed. Once and for all, of course, there's always going to be some people who will bring it up. But I think we as a PSG supporters can just say that, okay, enough of that. Bradley Barcola, he's a slippery guy. He really is. This had happened before in Ligue 1, also against Lens not too long time ago. He escapes with his agility, which more than makes up for lack of any type of robust physicality. It reminds me a little bit of younger Di Maria or Pastore in that they'll just use you as a practice cone as they zigzag past you. Araujo came from behind, his hand reached towards escaping Barcola, kind of hitting him in the throat area there in the neck. There was, of course, also another contact there from behind. It definitely wasn't shoulder to shoulder, which is what Araujo was trying to argue afterwards. He was showing to the cameras, well, he was showing to the referee, but we saw that through the cameras that he was showing his shoulder, that it was shoulder to shoulder. It really wasn't. Barcola would have been one-on-one with Ter Stegen without this tackle from behind. So, you know, it is what it is. You really have to look at these things a little bit objectively. As difficult as it may be sometimes, you know, to be considering the various biases that we have in football, I certainly have those. But this was pretty clear red card. It would have been very clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity. Barcola did well there, and Araujo, who had been really great in the first match and in the beginning of this match also, I think he was very good. You know, he let himself and his team down. It just happened like that. And it wasn't only that PSG had one player advantage on the pitch, but as goals were needed, it helps when the opponent loses their best defensive player also. But dangerous players force opponents to take additional risks, and Bradley Barcola, when he was one calendar year ago linking up with Alexandre Lacazette in Lyon, a few would have thought that this is where he's now. Not necessarily because he wasn't incredibly talented, but he really was, but because Lyon traditionally haven't been too keen on selling players to us. Olas would not have done it, and what Barcola has done is special. Fair play to him. No more Rafael Leao rumors, please, because while he's undoubtedly a great player, one that I enjoy a lot, but we have Barcola and he deserves to be that guy for us. The first PSG goal came from his cross. Dembele put it in, and Dembele was really strong. Like, he really came to show his old team what he's made of. Of course, next round, it's another one of his old teams, Dortmund, so we'll see how he does there, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. On top of Dembele, who was the man of the match, by the way, Vitinha has been really special for these two matches and actually for the whole season. His shot to even the aggregate was nothing short of phenomenal. Another banger from outside the box. He's had quite a few of them this season. He has now 9 goals this season, which is pretty good. Very good, actually. His all-time PSG total is now the same as Marco Verratti, with some hundreds of fewer matches played. Of course, not scoring or even shooting was part of Verratti's game, and he more than made up for it elsewhere on the pitch. I won't be having a bad word said about him, and this is not what I'm doing either in the show, but nevertheless, great to have Vitinha, who has a good few goals also for the team. His shot is such that perhaps he should be the one behind the ball in free kicks too. Robert Lewandowski still hasn't scored a goal against PSG. Ever. In this match, his former Bayern teammate Lucas Hernandez took care of the threat by him. From an outside looking in, it would have made more sense for Barcelona to keep the young Lamine Yamal and bench Lewandowski instead, but perhaps there's also a question of rank and station within the squad. Hernandez was much better than week before, by the way, when he was playing as a right-hand side centre-back, which isn't his usual spot. This week, he and Marquinhos came and made a good case of being the central defence pair we need for the remainder of the season. The last two goals were by Kylian Mbappe, one from penalty spot, another one quite a chaotic situation in front of Barcelona goal where anything could have happened. Mbappe shot, Asensio shot, Koundé cleared, but with the deflection the ball went directly back to Kylian Mbappe, who put it in the near corner behind Ter Stegen to kill the game and the tie as well. It's obvious that some will say that he won the match for us, scoring two goals, but I'm not sure if we have watched the same game, if you feel like that. Yes, the goals count. This is football and the goals are what counts, and he got two. He wasn't far from getting the hat-trick either, and a vast improvement from him. He played his part, but wasn't close to the MVP status. And I'm not saying this as a criticism to him, just countering the popular narratives by people who probably shouldn't even talk about PSG too much. His pressing was more aggressive and he played his part as one member of the collective, as he should have been. Barcelona was really struggling with their temper. They came across quite entitled and Xavi himself took a red card by kicking some advertising by the touchline whilst viciously screaming at the referee for not getting his way. He was throwing tantrums like a toddler, which is never a good look for an adult human being. Afterwards, he was claiming that the Aurao red wasn't a red and that refereeing lost the match to them, that it was really just the refereeing that was losing the match for them. And also his assistant then took two yellows, meaning red cards, so their stuff wasn't exactly well represented on the bench towards the end of the match. I would have absolutely hated if this was something that our staff would have done. I would have been so embarrassed. I remember some years ago when Nasser Al-Khelaifi and Leonardo were reportedly storming into to the referee's office. Not sure how true that was, but I was really struggling with that. It was just so embarrassing. It was just so incredibly disappointing. Even as a rumor, I'm not sure if it was true. I don't know if there ever was a kind of like a security camera footage or anything like that. But this is what was being said, and I found it so painful at the time. So I would have absolutely hated if anyone from our staff would have done what Xavi and his assistant did, because also it means that there's no leadership, and since they didn't seem to have much of the leadership on the pitch either, it almost sort of gave their predominantly very young team an excuse to lose. I don't know. Perhaps that's one step too far, but genuinely so glad that it wasn't us, and I think that Barcelona's issues are not my issues. I don't have to worry about them, but it seemed to me from outside looking in, not looking at them every week, every match, all the time, but I would say that they have a little bit of a challenge with the leadership within that squad. We might have had that before, but right now things are looking much better. But it was quite unusual to see an institution, a football institution of that stature, even if they're not on their highest ever. Of course, they've been far higher than this, but to see them crumbling emotionally, mentally like that, it was an unusual thing to see, one that I wasn't necessarily expecting to happen. Look, we also occasionally complain about refereeing, and famously the remontada match, of course, was against Barcelona. There were then countless of not just sort of borderline, but sort of incredibly contested goals, and they all went against us that night. They were all one-sided, and even one of them going the other way would have qualified us over them in that match. But there was nothing of that level here in this match. Now, I would say that, of course, but genuinely, I think so. And there might be a little that I can say to convince you that I'm being objective in any way. But if you look at both of these matches, the remontada and the one from this week that we've just had the other day, both of these matches, you know, while you are not being nervous and very emotional, while you're not in that fuck of football that can happen. I've done it now, and it seems to me that these two matches have nothing in common. I always look at it like that. If one of our defenders would have done to their forward what Araujo did and where he did it, I would have absolutely had to accept the red card. I would not have been happy about it, but I would have been disappointed in our defender, not the referee, because these are the rules of football. Same with the penalty. What Cancelo did was really immature, pretty bizarre choice to go into a forceful touch-first tackle in the box when Dembele might not even control the ball inside the box in that situation. It really wasn't that dangerous. So Barcelona can really only blame themselves for these errors, but PSG was solid also, and the mentality was right. It's important to do the right thing when other team is not doing the right things. Before these two matches, the quarterfinals, I said that if we have the mentality, we will have the quality. And it was true. It really was. So now we are going to the next round against Dortmund, who had their own resurrection against Atletico Madrid, as the Spanish teams are being called from Europe, except Real Madrid, of course, last night, as I'm recording this on Thursday. All the English teams are out, and there weren't even Italian teams in the quarterfinals. Two German teams left, none of which is the champion of Bundesliga this season, by the way. One French, that would be us, and Real Madrid from La Liga. But back to PSG. Luis Enrique deserves a lot of credit. There's no escaping that, and he has done very well. The trend has been incredibly positive where we started sort of last summer, then going through last autumn. The most difficult, the by far most difficult group in Champions League, two teams still left from those four in the top four of the continent. And then coming all the way here, playing the Coupe de France, playing Champions League, and of course, pretty consistently in Ligue 1, where there hasn't really been defeats in a very long time. So this is something that we have to say. He's done really very well. There's no escaping that. And I'm not saying this also because I would always share his vision for the starting lineup. This time against Barcelona, I did in the first leg. I didn't quite get it, but of course he has plenty more information about the team. And even more than that, he's a top-notch professional coach. He knows professional football. He knows the pressures. He knows the mentality that is needed. And he knows the tactics and strategies. Even the bottom-rung managers know more about football than I do. I'm not a delusional person. But of course, sometimes it becomes a question of how well they can translate their vision into action. And this is where Luis Enrique is very good. He has his strategies. And when things don't work, he's pretty good at adjusting things. This is one of his great strengths so far in Paris. He's very good at adjusting things. And this is something that not all the managers that we've had have been able to do. Very good, actually. And we've talked about this many times before. He's a solid manager, great manager. He seems to have been able to create an atmosphere within the team that actually suggests and believes that anything, absolutely anything, is possible. And I give him a lot of credit for that. But let's acknowledge also a far bigger shift within the organization, something that has been taking place for much longer than Luis Enrique has been part of the PSG operation. Because we have had good managers before, managers that have been able to do great things elsewhere. In fact, the final four teams in Europe in the Champions League, three coaches have at one point or another managed PSG. And of course, Thomas Tuchel, Carlo Ancelotti, and now Enrique. But what has been endemic in PSG is that the managers have never been given that full mandate to run the show, like really do it without any meddling. Too often in the past, they've at some point been relegated to be some sort of middle managers, a sort of buffer supervisors between the immense player power in the locker room and also sometimes one, sometimes more sources of semi-harebrained ideas, usually ego first by the president or by the sporting director. And Luis Enrique has broken that habit. Perhaps he has, perhaps Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the club president, has managed to contain himself better and allowed the football professionals to do the leading, to make the choices, and for him to lean towards his strengths, allow everyone to work on their strengths in general. Perhaps that was something that was prerequisite by Luis Enrique to join the team to begin with, that these other eager men would take a back seat and allow him to make the best footballing choices in his opinion. That's the key. In his opinion, that's the vision that he has. It is his vision, and you know, we should follow that. And if it doesn't work, then you have to make choices based on that. But you have to give him a chance to do something, to make something happen. And that's pretty great that it's been able to happen so far, whatever the reasons. But you know, I don't always give props to Nasser Al-Khelaifi, but now I do. This is a sign of maturity in leadership. I think he had reached a point where he had gone through so many coaches and even sporting directors that if things still didn't work out, there was only one permanent part of the operation, himself, and maybe it was becoming difficult to avoid that responsibility when things didn't work out so well that his hand was forced. Perhaps he just realized that this is how it needs to work, but right now things are working and we wouldn't be here without his blessing. That's not me saying that he's done something extra. I mean, he's done what he was always supposed to do. But finally, he seems to have done the right thing, and long may it continue. This coming weekend is all about PSG versus Olympique Lyonnais. Men are playing them on Sunday night at Parc des Princes, and the women's team will play against them on Saturday night in the Champions League semi-final first match. Yes, as I was saying earlier in this show, PSG is the only club in Europe that has both men and women's teams in the Champions League semi-finals. It's pretty great. Talks about the direction of things. They are going the right way, and that's a joy to witness. For men, the semi-finals start on 30th of April. That's a Tuesday in Dortmund then, so then the second leg is at home at Parc des Princes, which I prefer to be honest with you. And that one will be 7th of May, which is also Tuesday night local time. Two teams from the so-called group of death in Final Four of Europe. We have, of course, played Dortmund twice this season in the group stage. And as much as it's a piece of information with no consequence, PSG would have had a 3-1 aggregate on those two matches, so we have to be aiming for that final. It's not easy, but at this point and with this mentality, anything is possible. We must just go for it all. And what's the point of coming to the Champions League semi-finals and not aiming for the final anyway? I'm sure all teams that are left there are aiming for that. And then, final? Well, if you get there, it's just 90 minutes and anything can happen in 90 minutes. It's not two matches, it's 90 minutes on a neutral ground. Anything is possible, but a lot of hard work will have to precede it all. This is a good start, and the most that we can have at this point, we can't have yet done more, because that's not how time-space continuum works. But victory really does stay sweet, doesn't it? In this world so wrong, it's a nectar that temporarily provides some solace from the general nonsense. Thank you so much for listening to PSG Review, and feel free to find and follow me online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and at PSG Review on Instagram and TikTok. Make sure that your subscriptions are in order, and if you want to help me out, make sure you recommend the show to anyone who could be interested in it. My name is Mikko, more PSG Review next time, but until then, peace.